Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Building Success Stories with Ann Donnelly. Once again, I am producer Seth Cooper, and something super exciting this week. Why? Well, because if you've ever listened to the Building Success Stories podcast before, we've definitely talked about this, but not super in-depth, and today we're going to be taking a deep dive into this. And if it's the first time ever listening to Building Success Stories, well, first of all, welcome. And also, second of all, you're in for a treat because Ann and I have definitely, like I mentioned, have teased this in the past, but we're talking about the buyer's journey and something this week that, you know, we have been talking about throughout all of our episodes of Building Success Stories. But I'm excited to hear your brain on the buyer's journey.
Yeah, you know how when you go into like a clothing shop and the person working there comes right up to you and you're like, oh, give me a chance to look around.
Sure.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
That person does not know the buyer's journey, right? It's like if you try to sell some to someone when they're not ready to be sold to, you're more likely to turn them off completely. So the buyer journey or buyer's journey are the stages that a buyer goes through from when they first realize or are thinking about, you know, an issue that they have and then how to solve that issue. And then, oh, I need to buy something and then considering what, you know, it's going through all those stages through to when they're actually making the purchase and then after the purchase. So understanding that. So this is a very important, like, traditional marketing sort of, I call it part psychology, part common sense, right? Because if you think about it, right, you know, but there is a lot of psychology behind it. Like I said, because if you're trying to sell to somebody before they're ready to be sold to, it could be a disaster.
And also, too, this goes anywhere within sales. It's also within marketing as well. You always like to pick somebody's brain and like to see what, you know, you can provide for them. And, you know, I think a huge part of the buyer's journey is when to kind of not necessarily get aggressive, but when learn to push the envelope and when to say, okay, when can I get this across the finish line with whatever it may be?
Yeah. And I think just think about the times when you've gone to buy something and you got completely turned off. Like it could be like a website. Like they say that pop up like email subscribe windows are very successful, but like they annoy the hell out of me. Right. But unless maybe like say I'm on a website and I'm about to buy something and it pops up like get 10% off. If you sign up for my email list.
Are you one of those people that will sign up to get the 10 to 20% off always?
Depending.
Okay.
Depending.
Okay.
If it's something that I'm, if it's a site that I will shop on more than once.
Okay.
Probably.
Well, what if you're going like.
And it depends on what the ticket item is. You know, like if 10% is going to give me like a couple of dollars, then it's not worth it.
But I was going to say like, what if you were going to go like engagement ring shopping if you were a man and could save 20% off? Is that kind of.
That would be
that'd good, be under your big ticket item,
yeah,
per se.
Yeah, that would be. Are you considering this?
No.
Seth?
No.
Why is Seth talking about engagement ring shopping?
No. Just was curious.
just an idea. Yep. So, yeah, so I always often refer to used car salesmen, right? So they do tend to be on the more aggressive sense, but like if you go in, and this is maybe not like my experience is not used cars, it's new cars, but like I lease. So I'm in there more often than maybe the average person because it's every couple of years I would be changing my vehicle. So like they tend to be a bit high pressure, but then they you can also see the stages and that like, oh, now you go to the finance guy. And then he's trying to sell you these extra packages. Like, so you've already decided that you're taking this car, but do you want the service package? And then do you want the, what is that? The seal coat thing?
Yeah. Or the mats on the floor. And then for $800 more, we'll give you a free oil change and tire service for a year.
Yep. So then it's like, yeah, because you've already made a decision to purchase. you know, can they now start adding more stuff on there? And it's like, you know, so they definitely have their phases of when you're there. Like, because I think last time when I decided to change my lease was I was in there because there was damage to the car that was going to cost me like $1,000. So they're like, well, if, you know, if you want to just bring that in, finish off that lease and start this new lease. And it's like, okay. And they're like, oh yeah, and your mileage and it, you know, so it's people that are salespeople. They would tend to know, like good salespeople would understand this psychology, right? And you know yourself when somebody is selling to you in a manner that does not suit you and you're like, I just want to get out of here. Like, you don't get as much of this, but when you do get it now, it's annoying, is in the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, do not call me. So if my phone rings, they're like, hey, it's T-Mobile.
Yeah, there you go.
Right? Yeah. T-Mobile or whoever. You know, it's usually sure. These mobile phone companies that are calling you now, trying to get you, and it's like, no, don't call me at home while I'm eating my dinner.
So for you, as far as the buyer's journey, There's a cap limit to when somebody can call you for a sales call.
Yeah, and I think if you're the kind of company, but see, spammers,
sure,
and legitimate businesses that use spam-like selling techniques, their technique is like, and this could be a good business. This could be your business model. We'll just hit them as many times as we can, and we know that we're going to get a certain percentage. Yeah, that's some people's business model. But the average business really does need to consider the buyer's journey. And so why it's important to understand the stages is because it makes it easier for you to engage individuals at the right time at whatever stage they're in. So, you know, the best way to sell to someone is to engage them. So engaging is like really hooking them in. You know, so they're like, yeah, I like this website. I like this business. I like these people. Like, I want to know more. And then you take them down the path to becoming a solid lead and then a customer. So that's the best way of doing it. Then they're going to get the information that they need from you at the time that they need it.
And building that personal relationship and building that rapport is super important to get that sale across the finish line.
Yeah, definitely. And like, and to know your business and that, like, if it's a big ticket sell, chances are it's going to take a little bit of time.
Absolutely.
You know, so you want to get them engaged and then maybe get them on your mailing list so that then you can then feed them emails that are following the buyer journey as well, to then kind of bring them down there and keep them engaged and keep them in your what they call the lead funnel. And then I always add in, like, a lot of the buyer journey like articles that you read, they only talk about up to purchase. I talk about post purchase because I think that's really important too, because after that you still want to keep them engaged because you may have other things to sell them. You want to get referrals from them. You want to get a good review from them. So it's, you know, keeping them engaged throughout from, like, the lifetime of this person.
And you're also huge on providing a review, a referral, referring somebody to somebody of a service that maybe you can't provide. Mm-hmm. And you're also, I mean, it's part of, you know, the PlayCentric and marketing, but being on social media and sharing your experience about the product and giving them that free exposure also is something up your wheelhouse as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, if you've done the selling portion in a manner that suits the buyer journey, then they're more likely to have had a good experience and maybe want to share that with people. And while we're on the topic, I'm going to give a shout out to O'Leary Chiropractic,
aha,
who I actually took a picture, but I never got a chance to shout it out. Like, posted all over their waiting room is please give us
a
5-star review on our Google business profile. And they actually text you about it too.
I've
been meaning to ask him about that.
Yeah, Dr. Michael O'Leary is who I go to. And I know that you said you texted me.
You recommended him to me.
Yeah, and you know, he's great. But I think that that's where working together works, right? I mean, I wouldn't have met you if it wasn't for Pete at the regional radio sales office. Mm-hmm. And then once again, it's just having that working relationship and having that working rapport. And even, you know, just because, you know, we work on the podcast together, we see each other out and about around town. I see you at the Y. See you sometimes at the Cool Insuring Arena. There's times where we may run into each other if there's an event going on in downtown Glens Falls, or we may be eating at the same establishment. It's just, mm-hmm. it's just the way that, I don't mean to sound so rah-rah-rah here, but it's kind of like hometown USA. It's a small hometown USA, and it's where everybody knows everybody and travel and word
in
travels
a good way.
Absolutely.
Because earlier I was talking about it in not such a good way. So, and like I've lived in big cities.
Sure. Yes. And you've done that.
And I was actually discussing this with a friend of mine. I didn't think I was ever going to move back upstate again. Like, I thought, like, New York City, London, and then I ended up in Ireland, and it was rural. But, like, that was a whole different life choice.
Now, obviously, there were some personal decisions and going into this, but why did you decide to come back to upstate New York?
Well, I wanted to be near to my family. So my brother and sister are still in upstate New York. So I wanted to be near to my family. And so, you know, for a number of reasons, you know, because we're all getting older. So maybe you get more sentimental, but also you need family, you know.
Right.
So that finally kind of like hit home with me, literally. So that's why I moved up here. And I thought that my brother was living in this area, and I thought it was like a real up and coming area. And I'm finding that so. So I've been here 6 years. I'm very happy here.
And also too, we've also talked about this as well. It's kind of okay to be that big fish in a small pond. And it's also okay because, I mean, you also have mentioned it before. You can go to New York City and back in a day. You can go, if you really wanted to, you could go to Buffalo and come back in the same day. Not a lot of states and not a lot of places can offer us to go up to Canada and then back home to the States within a day.
Right? Yeah. So we digress, but still, like, because I was just talking about this with somebody too, that like, yeah, I am really happy here. And I think too that these days versus 20, 40, whatever years ago, that the world just smaller because the internet does bring us all together. Mm-hmm. So I can keep in touch. My two sons are in Ireland still, and I can keep in touch with them either through messaging or video chats. Flying is a lot more accessible. So.
Yeah, Albany just introduced their first ever one-way flight to Vegas today.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, and Albany International Airport, I will give them credit where credit is due. Kind of going off the tangent here, but that's okay. Yeah. They are providing more of the one-way tickets kind of opportunity, mm-hmm. so you don't have to have the delay, or you don't have to have the...
You mean one way, you mean nonstop.
Nonstop, yes.
Nonstop, yeah.
And you could also
get
a one-way ticket if you really wanted to.
If you really wanted to. Don't come back. No, we want you to come back. But that is one of the challenges. For me, as someone that works a lot in the tourism industry, accessibility is a big factor. And it was the same thing when I was in West Cork, Ireland, as it is here. Is that you've got Albany Airport, but there's limited flights, nonstop flights that come into there. So when you're trying to reach people from different areas, it's an issue. But let's get back to the buyer journey. Sorry about that, people. So the stages, the actual stages, right? So we'll get into that. So the three main stages, so the ones that people normally talk about, so is awareness. So it's that people have an issue or a need, and they're trying to decide that it could go anyway. So a common example I use is that, like, someone's 30th birthday is coming up, and they want to do something special. So they don't know exactly what they want to do. So they're looking at various websites. They're Googling, like, interesting 30th birthday celebration ideas, you know, things like that.
You can also do the good old Facebook looking for recommendations to what to do for my 30th birthday.
Right. ISO. Right?
Right.
Crowd, what they call it? Crowd gathering, what's
not, it? Not crowd surfing.
No, not crowd funding either, but crowdsourcing. But yeah, so that's when it's beneficial to say you are maybe a bar in downtown Glens Falls and you have an event room to hire out.
Bullpen, for example,
right?
Or Davidson's. Or...
So you can have articles on your website about, like when I was doing this, the guy's a holiday rental provider. Like, they had articles on their website about why their place is good for family reunions, right? So people that weren't specifically searching for holiday rental for family reunion, they were just like, you know, things you can do for a family reunion. You know, so it's like you could go stay at this island and stay in all their cottages. Or, like, say you're Googling what's a good... you know, what's something good to do for a 30th birthday? And you might come up with, you know, Downtown Social's website about how they have an event room and people have birthday parties there. Or, you know, the steamboats or, you know, different activities that you might do. Go to Adirondack Extreme. But, like, so... or, like, the chambers often. Like, they have a whole meet in Lake George website that's catering to people that are looking for, like, I have to put on this big meeting. What are some good ideas for, like, these kinds of meetings, you know?
It's also super important to note, too, that these events and places and activities can do, obviously, they can change. Right now, we're in warmer weather and things like that. So,
yeah.
And that's, once again, we talked about, you know, coming back to New York, that's kind of the beauty of upstate New York, is you're able to sell all different four seasons and trying to get different activities for fall, spring, winter, and summer.
So you think about that when, you know, when people are in the awareness stage of your their search for whatever they're looking for, you're not going to want to go in and sell, because they're still deciding, like, am I going to rent a place to stay, or am I just going to get an event room in a local bar, or are we going to go do some activity, or maybe we'll go out of state, you know? So that's the very early stages. So it's good to have information on your website, like, depending on the type of business, but I said, like, you know, informational pages about, like, why your venue is good for birthday parties, or, you know, what do they call them here? Bachelorette parties, or, you know, like
Sweet 16.
If there's certain things you want to target, like a DJ I was working with recently, or a dance. I was talking to a woman that, does dance lessons and stuff. She DJs too. So it was like
Festival
the what's the 15th, the quinceañeras.
Okay.
So she's had good luck with quinceañeras. So she should have a page on her website about how she can do a great job DJing at a quinceañera, you know, party.
How many people that you work with go, you recommend something, or maybe you recommend something maybe 6 months ago, and they go, well, Ann, I don't really know. And then you hear from them in 8 months ago, okay, I think what we talked about 8 months ago or back in the summer, I think I want to give it a go. How do you hook those customers, speaking of the buyer's market, to put all your chips in and buy in and go all in on that?
You know, that happens a lot. It happens a lot. Maybe because, like we're saying here, like when people are first thinking of the different things they can do, because also it's like the next stage. This is a good time to go to the next stage. So the next stage is consideration. Okay. So you're starting to find, you know, narrow down what it is. So you're thinking like, okay, yeah, I actually do want to just do an event room. Yeah, we're not going to go away for the weekend. We've only got one night. I just want an event room. So that's when they start looking at all the different places where they could get a room to have a party. You know, like I did this with my daughter's 16th, right? We looked at the hotels. We looked at community centers. You know, we looked at various different things. And so that's when you're like narrowing it down. So that's when you know a little bit more. So that's when you're going to have your page on your website that's about, you know, these are the rooms that we have that you could hire for these types of parties. You know, so that's the next kind of step. So on your page that you have that's about quinceañeras, right, and why they're a good location for quinceañeras, then you link to your page that lists your different offerings for quinceañeras. So then they, you know, like me, I have a friend just asked me, because we've talked before about my 60th birthday wine tasting in the Finger Lakes. I had a spreadsheet, of course, with all the different wineries and, like, you know, what the tastings cost and what the timings were and did they have entertainment or not. And,
how was the service? You know, CCT, yep.
Yeah, so all that stuff and, like, where they're located. So because I had to map out, like, within 6 hours, how can I get to the most wineries with my driver, you know, because I had a driver for 6 hours. So this is the consideration phase, you know, when you're like, okay, so which one of these do I want to go to? So the type of content, then you could have videos, you know, if you're like a professional firm or like someone like me, you might have webinars. Like I do free webinars for people. So they might be thinking about hiring me to do a strategy session with them. I have various webinars that I've done about different aspects of the work that I do. So it gives them a little bit more information and then they can see what I'm like to work with. Podcasts like this one, comparisons, like you might have like, what was I looking at recently? And they had like all the different, like even like when you're buying software, there's different levels, you know, and then they have all the comparisons of like, which ones would you do? Case studies, infographics, expert guides, like all different things like that. And, you know, like I said, it depends on the type of business. Like a lot of the examples I give are like hospitality or tourism related because that's what I work in a lot. So think about that a lot.
It's your expertise.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then the next phase is the decision phase. So that's when they're really getting ready to make a decision. So that's like you got your pricing. You might be doing a follow-up email with them because at this point they may have been in touch with you and asking you questions. And so they're still working on making a decision. So you're getting a little bit more salesy. Right? Because they are getting ready to make a decision, but you still don't want to get too aggressive with them.
And also, this is part where you might throw in an extra added value to try and get that sale across the finish
line.
Yeah,
definitely. So there you've got product and vendor comparisons, demos, right? Because somebody might want, like, say, the car, the whole car scenario, you know, give them a test drive. Case studies, testimonials, like because people are going to want to know like feedback from other people that have used this. Let's see. So that's decision, and then you are being salesy. They're making a decision. So, like I said before, you're not too salesy, but you are actually salesy in this case, right? So. But you're giving it your all. But you're giving them good information. I mean, I know everybody's got different sales styles. So obviously you need to do what's going to work for your target audience. But this is when you're giving them your all. You're giving them all the good information, why you're the best ones to do. This is whether, like, maybe you've given them all the information about what you offer and what it costs, but then the whole why you, because our service is great, because you can trust us, because, you know, all of this stuff. So they've gone from when they were first trying to decide what they wanted to do or buy, and then led them down the path to them, you know, you're a serious consideration for what they're going to do, then they make the decision to buy. So I add two more stages. So I add the post-purchase stage. So someone has become your customer, that they made a purchase, they booked with you. Then you've got the follow-up emails. You might make a phone call, you know, depending on the type of, you know, business that you have and whether it is meriting. Like if you bought a car from someone, they might call you up.
Sure.
Thank you. They might say, this was with the car guys, they're always like, before you leave the showroom, pull out your phone. I want to see you on Facebook. Leave a 5-star review and mention my name.
Right, yep.
Because they'll get help from their
commission.
They'll get bonus points whatever from the sales manager. Or like how many times they do this at the a lot of places do that too. Like even like in restaurants, the waitress might be like, mention my name. Post purchase and it's also, just to solidify your relationship with these people too. It's like, so you might send out an email with links to how to use whatever they bought. If it's like booking like a cottage, like, oh, here's things that you should bring, or here's what we have, or here's directions, how they can connect you on your social channels, how to leave a review, and then maybe upsells. Like, so if they bought a product, but then there might be something else that would go good with it, so that's post-purchase stage. And then I have what I call the repurchase stage. So you're kind of getting back into the buyer journey again, where, whether it's like me going in with my car that I scraped the bottom shield off of, right? Because I had a Civic and it's really low. And I was driving to Keuka and halfway it fell off, or was almost about to fall off. So I had to pull in. It was a whole fiasco.
Ordeal. Yep.
And then when I actually went into the dealer then to see, like, what can I do about this? And they're like, yeah, it's going to be about $1,000.
Like, it's like when I...
Hey, why don't you just switch over and get a new lease?
It's like when we went to vacation in Nashville and we were traveling back from Kentucky in the Appalachian Mountains and I got a flat tire in the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night.
Yep, and I had to go to the dealership that my car is a part of and then... do the whole thing over and over again. And I think my car was maybe 4 or 5 months at that point. Then found out that the car didn't come with a spare tire.
Oh, that happened to me once.
Yeah, so that stunk because I had to buy the jack and everything that went with it. And obviously had to buy to the dealership. So they upsell their percentage of the cost. And it was a fun adulting experience at the ripe age of 23. It wasn't my birthday yet.
Oh, wow. So the stages of the buyer journey. So, so for repurchase, again, it's like you got your email follow-up, special offers for returning customers, and like milestones. So it could be like a lot of places, like if you have your wedding somewhere, they send you out something saying, like, for your anniversary, like, come and have dinner on us, or don't give it on you. Like, they'll come and have dinner, or, people's birthdays, things like that, just to keep them engaged. So this is what email marketing is really, really useful for, and especially automatic drips. If you haven't figured out how to do, like, automated mailing campaigns, you are really losing out. Like, the people that I've done them for, they're like, oh, wow, like, this is just amazing.
And also, too, when people haven't done them and then they're going, oh, wow, we should have done this years ago or months ago. Look at the engagement that I've been getting. And it's just so, like, yesterday while we're taping this podcast, it was Mother's Day. So restaurants and bars and other establishments were packed and, the big question is who's going to go where and how are you going to get them in there? Mm-hmm. And that's another thing too, where, I watch a lot of Bar Rescue and John Taffer is very good about how can you hook somebody in and come back. And, even if you get, a domestic beverage, you get a free domestic beverage or $2 off a domestic beverage. He goes, odds are they're going to stay. Cause if they're drinking more, they're going to get more food. They're going to get dessert. Mm-hmm. They're going to hang out with their friends. This is what I got for a coupon. You guys should come on down, subscribe to their email list, and then, the chain hopefully follows.
Yeah. And that's why it's important to have a good strategy. And the business owners or the people that are involved in the managing of the day-to-day of the business, or especially if they have like a lot of experience and expertise, are the ones that need to work with marketing people because they know what kind of offer is going to be attractive to people and not like kill your bottom line. like, obviously, you know, I mean, this is part of your business decisions. But this is why I say, like, this should be part of your overall business plan.
Sure.
You know, but the buyer journey. So it's like, you know, salespeople that are trained specifically in sales. Like, I've read a lot of books on selling. But I learned this more as a digital marketing thing. But it really is like a traditional selling kind of thing. It's just, you know, understanding people's thinking patterns and their behaviors and how to best engage them and interact with them. So how to use these stages in your digital marketing. So I always suggest to people and to consider whether the design and layout of your website should be based on the buyer journey. So when someone lands on your homepage, you have the boxes, you know, and it's like, you know, about what we offer, you know, and then compare the plans and then, you know, click here to make a purchase. You know, you might want to lay out your website that way or have that as a secondary navigation. So, like, say your business is one that has, like, specific categories, and that's how you want to have your main navigation. But then maybe also have, like, you know, how to get started, you know, or start here as a way to get people through, you know. And look at how you have your email. Like I said, the automatic drip email. So there was one person, like, she was just getting started with email marketing. So, and she didn't want to invest in a higher end email marketing, like, package. So she said she just wanted to do, like, 4 emails. So we did them from, like, following the stages of the, you know, one a week, going out to when someone subscribed to get the initial, you know, like, this was for a wedding photographer. So it's like, did you get your engagement photos? And then the next thing is, like, how to pick a wedding photographer. And then, like, how to decide which photos you want. And, like, what do you need to prepare for your wedding photos? So hopefully by the 4th one, they were hooked.
And the success on that was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, she was really pleased with that. And because the fact that it was automated. So at any time when people sign up for it, they get the first one. Then the next week they get the second one, the third one, the fourth one. So you only had to write it and set it up once.
Yep.
And then it's working for you throughout the year. So, and then in your campaigns, develop content for each stage or the specific stage relevant to the campaign and use the language that would be suitable for that. You know, like, thinking about having a party in downtown Glens Falls, or this is the place for your, what is it, quinceañera.
There you go.
Right? you know, don't distract from making up, like, if you're in the decision stage, like with landing pages, that's like a selling page, don't distract with extra information. You know, don't get them back to the comparison. Get them to click the buy button too. So you got to be careful about that also. So it's not just about the worry of overselling too early in the stage. Then when you get them to the buying stage, don't distract them from that. And then one thing that's really helpful in this, like, I use HubSpot as a CRM to keep, like, all my contacts in there, and I do my email marketing through it, and it also tracks, like, what pages people go on my website.
Ah.
So if you use a really good email marketing, like I said, so that can do the drip fed, but that can also track the activities people have taken so that, like, you can do this marketing more successfully and more easily. Because if you had to manually keep track of all that, that would be too difficult. So, and this is really important too if you're doing, like, pay-per-click ads, because you don't want to attract people. Like, say your intention is to, you know, because you're paying for these clicks, you want people that are looking to buy right now, right? So the language needs to reflect, you know. So I used to, when we were doing company formations in Ireland, right? And I did advertising. I was like, you know, set up a company now. Not like, I wasn't doing languages like find out the benefits of setting up a company. Because those would be people that are kind of researching. So the return on investment for that ad campaign would be really poor because I was using language that that was attracting people that were just kind of early on in the stage. And that's fine if your intention is to get people to maybe sign up for a mailing list. That's not a good ROI. It can be in the long run. And so that is a legitimate use for pay-per-click ads. But if your real desire for your campaign is to actually get sales, then you need to, you know, buy a car today kind of thing.
Right.
You know, it's like, I want those people that are ready to click that buy button. So determine the stages of your buyer journey and how they're relevant to your business. Review all the aspects of your digital marketing and ensure that they're relevant to and making the most of these stages. And I think that's where a lot of people, you know, because it does take a bit of time. And so I'll put a link to the information about this that's on my website, playcentric.com, but there'll be a link in the notes for this episode. And if you sign up for my mailing list on that page, you get a free tool that I've created that's list the stages of the buyer's journey so that you can then map out what of your content would be suitable for those stages.